Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus drew the people to himself in the wilderness. There he healed their diseases and taught them the word of God, and after 3 days, they are hungry. Now, through our Sunday school lessons all these years, we've kind of sanitized this scene. But this was really a chaotic time. What do people do when they're hungry and they don't know what to do? We have a word the Greeks didn't have. It's called hangry. Yeah, you know. Children squall, moms fret, dads knot their brow and are going to do something about this. So here they are with Jesus in the wilderness. Why did he bring us out here? We had meat and bread back home. And so out of their throats and their hearts comes grumbling and murmuring. Jesus has done this, you know. He brought them out here. And you can almost see him take a look around and take a step back and then ask Philip, "So Philip, where are we to buy bread to feed all these people?" And you can hear the panic in his response. He complains, 200 denarii wouldn't be enough. And of course, if they had the money, where would they buy the bread? They're in the middle of nowhere. Andrew starts well. Here are 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but he ends in despair. What are they for so many? Jesus knew what he was going to do. And so he has the people be seated on the grass, which is a comfortable seat, a gift in itself out here. It's a bit of an oasis in the wilderness so that they can have a picnic lunch. And he takes up the bread and the fish in his hands. He gives thanks for them. Gives the food to his disciples to distribute among the people, and their bellies were filled up with as much as they wished. And what is the crowd's response to that great provision, that wonderful gift? Is it gratitude? Is it thankfulness? No, they want Jesus to become their king. They want to force him to become their bread king. Their bellies are filled and they like the feeling. and their fickle minds turn in on themselves. The tyranny of gluttony rears up its head. They want to control and manipulate this to their benefit. We do love our bread kings, don't we? Recently, you were all given free money from the government. Who thought of turning their COVID bucks back into the government? You didn't. It was free money, twice over. Who doesn't love that? Of course, we would love more of it. We can't get enough freebies, even if it would hurt us in the long run. This love of bread kings is not peculiar to those people in the wilderness. It is part of our nature. It's nothing new. It's simply bondage. Free things do not keep us from worry and sin, but they rather exacerbate it. The Israelites in the wilderness grew to despise their daily bread. They grumbled about it. We want variety. We want leeks. Yeah. They murmured against the bread. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. Loathes it. Such it is with sinners such as ourselves. That's why lotteries and gambling are popular. Free things. Free things are corrosive to us. They breed envy of what our neighbor has. Greed grows under every free thing. Gluttony springs up always wanting more. Lotteries, gambling, and more government are not the answer to your worry and your anxiety. You don't need a bread king because man does not live by bread alone. By reason of our sin and fallen estate, we are very fragile people. We are weak, always perishing. We are not the fittest who have survived. We require clothing lest we die. We need to cook our food, not chase it down and eat it raw. God must always provide for us poor mortal sinners. We lose sight of how weak we really are. We are always this close to dying. We need our daily bread from our Lord's providential hand. This same Lord Jesus, who makes 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish to multiply and satisfy the desire of the 5,000, is the same who offers himself for the life of the world. He who is tempted to make bread out of stones easily multiplies this little bit of food to feed many thousands of hungry mouths. The people really couldn't make Jesus a king, you see. He was already a king, the Son of God, the very Word made flesh. He is the one who created all things out of nothing, and he did not come to seek or to love glory. It is his by nature. But rather for our sake, Jesus sought humility. He is a bread king, but not the sort that sinners crave. Born in the house of his father David in that town of Bethlehem, that little town of bread, he is a bread king, but not the earthly sort who only satisfies bellies and worms his way into our favor with his freebies. Jesus is the king who freely gives of himself, and his gift is always efficacious and it's salutary. Hear him. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He is much more than a bread king. He gives a food that is enduring, abundant, and healthful. The bread of his flesh gives life, and not just life now, but eternal life. He gives a life that never ends. And for our weak and mortal bodies, he gives his body into suffering, death, and burial. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. His body has procured your salvation and promises a resurrection like his. He constantly gives of himself that we may have life and have it abundantly. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Dearest Jesus, who gives your body and blood to eat and to drink, who satisfies the desires of your people, stills our fears, forgives our sins, who strengthens and restores us, O living bread from heaven, how well you feed your guest. For you have freely given what earth could never buy. So when you find yourself wanting free stuff again for this life, and you will, you know that you will find greed rising up there and gluttony grasping. And that is the time to withdraw. That's what Lent's about. Praying, fasting, giving alms. This life is precarious. And because it's precarious, we are very prone to panic. We must always remember that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so God draws us out to his wilderness, draws him to himself. And we see that his cross of suffering is good for us, and that his word constantly comforts us. Hear him as he tells you constantly, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. God is the provider of all things. His providence ensures our daily bread. And we pray that he would lead us to know it and believe it and give thanks for it. And as we wander through this wilderness of sin, we know that he is our grassy oasis, our rest, our food, our joy, our salvation, our satisfaction. He is our bread, our living bread, in whom we have our life and every joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.